Take your Bible, if you will, this morning to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20, if you will. While you're turning there, there's two more prayer requests I'd like to give you. Lauren asks that we pray for her friend Elizabeth Mello. She's having surgery on the 24th of this month to remove cancer that's on her lungs, her third bout with cancer. So would you pray for Elizabeth Mello? I know she would appreciate that. And I would appreciate it if you'd pray for my wife. She's, we're pretty sure she's battling a kidney stone. And those things are just not fun. So if you would pray for her, we would greatly appreciate that very much. All right, you're there in Acts chapter 20. Look, if you will, in verse 6. The Bible said, "We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted." In this chapter, Paul does a good bit of traveling in this chapter. If you go there and you read down through the verses ahead there, that he was going, you know, he left and he departed for to go into Macedonia. And then says in verse 2, when he had gone to those parts and given them much exhortation, he came under Greece. He was there 3 months, and then he purposed to return, you know. And so, but eventually, we get in our text, he gets to the city, or gets to the area of Troas. Troas was on the western end of what is now present-day Turkey. And it's across, it's on the Aegean Sea and across that sea from Greece. And you say, what difference does it make what there? Well, what happened there will provide a challenge for us nearly 2,000 years later. I have preached from this passage of Scripture at least twice, two different messages. One I preached on sleeping in church. Eutychus here fell asleep in church, all right? But also I preached on what kept the lights on in the upper chamber. So as we got to this part, going through, preaching through the book of Acts, I asked the Lord if he would give me something more from this passage, and what I got, I'm going to give to you today. I want you to draw your attention to the words in verse 8, all right? In verse 8, the last part of that verse, it says, where they were gathered. Where they were gathered. I want to preach to you on that subject of where they were gathered. I want you to notice, first of all, now this, the good thing about my preaching, it's simple enough, anybody can get it. You don't have to bring a dictionary to church with you. Say, what is that word, all right? When you leave here, you will not be scratching your head saying, what was he talking about, all right? You're going to know, it's simple. I'm one of those preachers tries to put it on the bottom shelf where anybody can reach it, all right? Number one, I want you to see where they were gathered. They were gathered at a place, a specific place. The Bible tells us it was in an upper chamber. More than likely, it was in some believer's home who maybe had a little more room in his home where other people could gather. Hey, you have to realize there weren't many church buildings in that day. Matter of fact, there's a good chance there were no church buildings in that day at all. And it seems to be a place, though, that they were maybe used to coming together, that church there in that area. You say, why do you say that? Well, people were comfortable. People were comfortable. Notice the Bible said Eutychus sat in a window. Now, I ask you, if you went to somebody's home where you were not comfortable, would you sit in the window? No, you wouldn't sit in the window. But if you're comfortable in a place, you could do that. And so he went, he was there. Now, today, the place where we are together is a local New Testament church. That's the place we're together. And can I say this? I believe the church ought to be a place where believers are comfortable. Now, that doesn't mean I want you sitting in the window, okay? But I believe we ought to be comfortable. I believe it ought to be a place where we come together, where we're used to meeting together. We come to meet together with our Lord. We come to meet together in fellowship with other believers. That's a good thing. But it isn't a specified. It is at a place. It is not just any old place, all right? But it's at a special place where we're comfortable. I mean, I'm thankful for padded pews. I don't know about you. I'm real grateful for air conditioning. And thank God for it. As a kid, I grew up in church. Church dad pastored. Man, when I was a kid, there was no air conditioning. I mean, when it was hot outside, it was hot inside. The only difference is we had moving hot air inside, because there was fans moving it, all right? But I thank God for air conditioning. When I was that kid, we sat on pews, but they weren't like this. A pad was something to dream about, all right? And made out of 1x4 slats, the men in the church had made them. I'm glad we've got this. I'm glad it's a place. But I'm glad it's a place where we can gather together with other believers and be comfortable. We're not sitting here looking around finding somebody that we can run down. We're not looking around somebody say, well, I'm better than they are. I'm glad we're just here, all right? But I want you to notice this. Not only was that comfortable place, but it was a place of light. Notice what the Bible said in verse 8. There were many lights. Many lights. Who wants to hang around in a dark place? And just to hang around in the darkness, the place we ought to meet in, and the place we meet ought to be a place that not only is lit up, but it gives out the light. Not just physically, but spiritually. More importantly, it is a place where the light goes out into a sin-dark world. Don't lose your place here in Acts, but go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, would you? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Won't you notice what the Scripture says? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, all right? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The Bible said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Hey, the light of the gospel ought to go forth from this place. That's what we want to preach to you. It's the light of the gospel, all right? We talk about handing out tracts. What are we doing? We want you to hand out the light to people where they can see the truth of the Word of God. The Bible said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Nothing like the Word of God to light up the world. Hey, you want to light up your world, then you get in this book. Get in this book. We live in a world of darkness. Do you ever look around and go, what in the world is going on? Hey, get in the Bible, it'll tell you. Get in the Bible, it'll tell you. Hey, it was a place where they were gathered. They were gathered at a place. Don't you notice the second thing? They were gathered for a purpose. Now that purpose is revealed in verse 7, all right? Notice what it says in verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. They gathered together for the preaching of the Word of God. Hey, if you'll let me put it this way, they gathered in the light to get some light, all right? That's what was going on. They gathered in the light so they could get some light. It was for the preaching of the Word of God. That light came from the preaching, all right? Paul was there, he preached. Our world is in a mess. We talked about it. One reason is because there is less preaching than there has ever been, I believe. Less real preaching. Now, there may be more churches. There may be more bigger churches, but there's still not much preaching going on. You listen to a lot of them, and that what's passes for what ought to be preaching, it's been replaced with drama. It's been replaced with emotion and teaching and programs and entertainment, but not preaching. Not preaching, all right? What we need and the purpose for meeting together is for the preaching of the Word of God. I tell everybody when I'm visiting, if you're there for Sunday school, we'll teach you a Bible lesson. We'll teach you a Bible lesson. If you're there for the church service, somebody is going to preach you a Bible message. Hey, we gather here for a purpose. You said, yeah, you talked about it. You mentioned fellowship. Yep, fellowship's a good thing, and we ought to enjoy it. We ought to enjoy it with the people of God. I like to see people come in and folks hug one another. People shake hands, you know. I like that. It's a good thing to fellowship together. Hey, singing is good. I love singing. I love singing. I like good singing. I like some that ain't all that good, if y'all know the truth. I just like singing. If somebody sings with a nasal twang, but it's a good song, and it doesn't bother me, man. If they sing, there is a fountain filled with blood. You say, preacher, you like that? You bet. Hey, I'll be honest with you. I like to hear somebody sing that knows the one they're singing about. I like that. I like that. Now, I like the classic stuff. I like the folks that can harmonize and it's smooth. I like that. I enjoy it, but I enjoy the other too, all right? Man, if it's the hillbilly getting together, praising the Lord, let her rip, man. Have at it. That's why I tell you, don't sit out there, I don't sing, I don't have a good voice. We don't care. We don't care. Nobody's coming through the crowd going, I think you're off key. Hey, you're a little bit flat there on that note. We're not going to do that. We're not about to do it. I don't care if you sing in the cracks on the piano, all right? Man, I think it's a good thing to sing. It's a good thing. Praying's good. I like to gather together and pray. Good thing to pray for people. I believe all of that's good. I believe all of it's needed. But when we gather together for regular services, there's going to be preaching. Going to be preaching. You said, why? Because we need to hear from God. We need to hear from God. We've spent a week listening to everything out in the world. We've spent a week hearing everything that's going on. If you listen to the television, just between me and you, you don't get much good news. You listen to the radio, there's not much good news. There's a lot that you can't listen to. It's not fit for human beings to listen to. But boy, when you come together here, there ought to be preaching. You see, preaching is the application of the Word of God to the lives of people. To the lives of people. This book is not to just be kept on the museum shelf. This book is not to be at your home as a shrine. This book is to be taken and read and heard and listened to and then put in practice in our lives. An application. It is to change you. It's to be preached so it brings conviction. Hey, look, if you're at the house of God, the Word of God is preached and you say, man, I'm feeling kind of bad, because what you're saying, I'm guilty of. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Hey, if you're doing wrong, you ought to feel bad. You ought not to feel good. You ought not to be able to pat yourself on the back and smile. No, there ought to be conviction. That's a good thing. And the Word of God is preached to bring conviction. It is preached to bring illumination, to help you to see some things, all right? They help you to see things you don't see clearly. That's the reason for the Word of God being preached. It's preached to encourage you. There's encouragement in the preaching of the Word of God. We need that encouragement. We need that encouragement to just keep on. Don't quit. Don't quit. God's still in control. He's still got everything. It's going to be all right. You'll make it. Stay with it. We need that encouragement. It's there. Hey, we need preaching to challenge us. To challenge us. We need to be stirred a little bit. It is easy to get in a rut in life. Here I am plodding along. This is it. This is it. I mean, you know, get up in the morning, brush my teeth, get dressed. Most of you, I suppose, drink that dreadful stuff called coffee. All right, you drink a cup of coffee. You know, have at it. It's okay with me. You know, I had old brother Duel Shaw. He asked me one time, I said, man, how do you get going in the morning? I said, good old glass of water, I guess. I don't know. I get out of bed and I get going, all right? But whatever, and we got that, but you've got that routine. Some of you, you've got a coffee pot set. It starts cooking, working before you even get out of the bed. You smell it, and that's the alarm clock, right? Time to get up. Coffee's ready. But hey, that's that routine. You get dressed. You go to work. You do the same thing today that you did yesterday. Do the same thing day you're going to do tomorrow. And then you come home, and you eat a little supper, fight with your spouse, fuss a little bit, go to bed so you can start it all again tomorrow, right? Or, hey, if you're a student, you go to school, do that routine. If you're retired, you get up and go, okay, what next? You know, what are we going to do? Most of you say, you look at your list, say, we'll never get all this done today, all right? So it's a good thing to be retired, you know. But it's a routine. Hey, you need to be challenged. Our Christianity gets to be routine, too. It gets to be routine. It ought to be challenged, and we need that, all right? Hey, we need something that'll change our life. We need something that'll change our life. The preaching of the Word of God will do it for everybody that'll come and listen. It will change your life. Hey, they gathered at a place. They were gathered for a purpose. And they gathered during a period. Now, some of you have been saying amen to the place. You've said amen to the purpose. But we're fixing to get on touchy ground now. Hey, when they gathered, there was no schedule as to how long they'd be there. Here they were. Notice what it says in verse 9. As Paul was long preaching. It's already said in verse 7, he continued until midnight. Some of you are already looking at your watch now saying, preacher, you don't have but about 15 minutes. You better wind this up. See, that's the way we come to the house of God. We come with that kind of attitude. Okay, we'll give you a couple. We'll give you an hour. Here we are. We'll sing for 30 minutes. You preach for half an hour and we're out of here. It didn't come that way. They didn't come with that attitude, all right? The Bible said Paul was long preaching. If he preached long till midnight, he was, all right? Could I just say it? This wasn't no sermonette for Christianettes who smoke cigarettes, all right? It continued until midnight. He was plowing the corn, man. He was getting after it, going to it, preaching. Hey, we come together. When we come together, there shouldn't be a time limit upon that meeting. Upon that meeting. Now, I know some of you are sitting here going, Lord, I hope he's not preparing us for a marathon service today. Hey, you're the one I'm preaching to, okay? But that's our problem. We come with that kind of attitude, you know. I'll be here just so long. I just want to tell you, sometimes God fills the preacher with more than can be expressed and expounded upon in 30 to 45 minutes. Sometimes there's just more there. Hey, folks will go to a ball game and sit for 2 or 3 hours. Just be there, watching and hoping something will happen to cheer for. Ashley, did y'all go to the baseball game the other night? All right, I thought I saw a picture of you. All right. Now, I'm not against baseball. If you enjoy baseball, have at it. Just enjoy it. Go for it. Enjoy the game. I go to a baseball game, and I'm sitting there going, wonder if anything's going to really happen this inning. Look at there, hit it. He's out. Here comes the next guy. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's it. But people go and they'll sit 2 or 3 hours. Not only that, you'll pay astronomical prices for a ticket. You'll pay a ridiculous price for a bottle of water. Man, if you get nachos, you're paying. I mean, he'd say, preacher, what do you get? I'm not against it. I've paid it too. I've paid it. But it bothers me, we'll go there and sit, but if the preacher goes 5 minutes over, we're sweating it. They came together during a period of time, but nobody knew how long it was. Nobody started the clock, said, okay, preacher, we're watching, go. They didn't do that. Paul preaching, man, he preached till midnight, all right? I want you to notice, the only person who left the service fell out the window, okay? The only person that left fell out the window. All right, he didn't leave on purpose. He went to sleep and he fell out the window, all right? He was the only guy, only one. I warn you about going to sleep in church. He said, I'm not sitting at the window. A lot of people have embarrassed themselves in other ways. Just warn you. I've been in church all my life. I've seen some amazing things happen, all right? Really have. Hey, I just want you to know they gathered, they listened, they stayed. They stayed. They were there. Can I tell you, we can learn from that. We can learn from that. Now, I realize we've had people come to our services that have had to get up and leave because they had to go to work. I'm glad they came. I'm glad they stayed as long as they could stay. Thank God they didn't say, well, I'll have to leave, so I'm not coming. No, come get what you can, all right? Come get what you can. But I'm talking about people, there's nothing wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with us. We could stay, but, man, I'm hungry. I'm leaving. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Can I tell you this? There ain't a one of you going to die from thirst till I get through preaching. And I'll tell you the same way I tell kids in school. If you do die, we'll give you a nice funeral. I promise. You die here in the house of God, we'll do it. Hey, they came. They gathered during a period of time and it wasn't specified. They were determined to be there. They wanted to get something. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're at the last point of the service, the last point of the message, so you can relax. I can't preach this point for 30 minutes. Right? Well, I might could, but I want you to see this. They got more than they planned for. They got more than they planned for. Cynical people sometimes say that church service, it's the same every service. The same every service. I believe nothing could be further from the truth. When I come and when you come to the house of God, you never know how God's going to work that day. We have no idea what God's going to do. No idea. Nobody figured that night we're going to see a guy resurrected from the dead. Nobody figured that. Hey, I believe those people knew Eutychus. It says there in verse 12, they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. That was somebody they cared about. And here he is. I don't know if they saw him. Whoops! There's his leg. Grab him. Nope, too late. He fell down. That'll break up the service, you know. And they went down, but thought, he's dead, taken up dead. Nobody figured that day. Nobody figured when we're going to church tonight. Here we are, first day of the week. They met together on Sunday. Nobody figured we'll be there and we're going to get to see somebody raised from the dead. They didn't come in the door, reckon who's going to be dying tonight. They didn't come that way. They expect that. Didn't expect it. Hey, I don't know about you, but when I come to church, I come looking for God to do something in me. In me. See, the reason some people never see anything happen, we come with a wall. We've already put the wall up. You're not going to do anything to me, preacher. You go ahead. But if it gets too hot and heavy, I don't have to keep listening. I can focus somewhere else. I can look over here. I can look over there. I can think about something else. Or I can look at you but not think about what you're saying. I realize that. Hey, but I'll tell you this. You come to church or you skip church, you never know what you're going to miss. You never know what you might miss. Imagine if you'd have been the one that was usually in church in Troas and you weren't there that night. Can you imagine? You weren't there. And the next day, man, you're not going to believe it. We were there all night. Most people would have said, bless God, I'm glad I missed that service. Had to stay all night. I'm glad I wasn't there. He said, but wait a minute, you don't know. You know that guy, Eutychus, you remember him? Yeah, that young fella, black-headed guy, yeah. You know him, kind of a goof off, right? Hey, he was there at church, sitting in the window, went to sleep, fell out the window, and it killed him. Well, when's the funeral going to be? Oh, that's the best part. He ain't dead now. I wish I'd have been there. Wish I'd have been there. You said, preacher, there ain't never been anybody here raised from the dead. There have been a lot raised from the dead spiritually. I just want to tell you something. That's better than raising from the dead physically. Hey, this place is a place where there's been a lot of people right here, right there, over there. Back under and off, people walked the aisle. Came down, knelt here. Fell on their face before God, lost, headed to hell, on their way, dead in trespasses and sin. But somebody took that Bible and showed it to them, and they asked God to save their soul. They went down a broken, poor beggar, but they rose up, heir to the King. What a wonderful thing that is. Man, I've been in a lot of services where people get saved. It's a wonderful thing. I like to see people come down that aisle weeping. Weeping. I remember one Sunday I was here. This was before Dad died. I was preaching that day. For some reason, there's a big tall fellow sitting back towards the back, probably about a row or two in front of where Brother Ragsdale is sitting this morning. That's where he and his wife always sat when they came. Man, he's a big, tall guy, but he's that tall. He came down that aisle. His wife was helping him down the aisle, and he was just weeping. Came to get saved. I baptized him later. Big, tall guy. It's like this. That's the only way I can baptize him. Thank the dear Lord. I'll never forget that Sunday. Never forget that Sunday. Hey, I'll never forget the Sundays God's dealt with me. God's dealt with me. My old heart. And I had to realize, okay, Lord, you're talking to me. Yep, you're talking to me. Oh, yeah. And I had to come. And I had to get right with God. Oh, I'm glad it happened. Glad it happened. Hey, there's nothing greater than when a soul gets saved. But it sure is a good thing when sinners that are saved get right with God. Why? This is where I learned. This is where I came. This is where I grew as a child of God. Why? Through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. You said, preacher, I can worship God anywhere. Yeah, but you'll not get everything you need if you're not in the house of God. Nobody can. Well, nobody can. And it's great to hear the wonderful testimonies of the grace of God. I love it. I don't know about you, but I like to hear the times old Brother Chester back there has come and said, hey, makes 3 years I've been clean. Glory to God. I like to rejoice with him over that. What a blessing that is. I remember that fellow. I remember, Brother Chester, if you get mad at me, raise your hand and I'll quit, all right? But I remember when Brother Chester, boy, he started coming. He's a difficult guy to work with. He was having problems, boy, and his sin was had him and had him down and had him bound. Man, you look at him now, you'd never know it. Never know it. Why? Because of what God did for him and God did in him. Being here helped him. Being here helped him. Helped him. Hey, listen. Why don't you gather more often? Why don't you gather more often? I've had people tell me, "Preacher, I really like your preaching." I said, "Well, obviously a little goes a long way. Because you'll come and I won't see you for 6 or 8, 9 months. Yeah, but it was good enough, I guess. I don't know. I don't think anybody's preaching that good, all right? There's not. Hey, you miss the message you need. You miss the message you need. I'm going to be honest with you. I have been at church. Man of God was preaching and I thought, I sure do wish so-and-so would hear. Not because of their sin, but what was preached, they needed to hear. Not because of their sin, it was an encouraging time and a helpful time, and I thought, boy, I wish they were here to hear it. They need it. Hey, you miss what you need. Not only that, you miss a chance to get right. Miss a chance to get right. You miss the salvation of a friend or a family member. How sad that is. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to miss anything God might do. I don't want to miss anything he might do. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know when he's going to do it. But I want to be there when it happens, all right? I want to be there. Hey, they were gathered together. They were gathered together. Paul preached a long time. Long time. His preaching wasn't any better than mine because people fell asleep when he preached too. Hey, but what a difference it made in the lives of those people. What a difference. What a difference it made. Hey, they got the light they needed. They stayed long enough to get it. They didn't cut and run, all right? Boy, so many people miss out. They were gathered together at a place for a purpose, and they were there for a period, and what they got was more than they ever planned to get. More than they planned to get. I like it when God gives me more than I was planning on getting, don't you? I like that. But I've found people don't get much because they don't come with much to get it in. You know, you come with a thimble. Fill it up, preacher. Man, not me. I'd like to come with a bushel basket. Preacher, fill it up. Go for it. How about you? Hey, what do you need this morning? I didn't preach on salvation, but maybe this morning if you were to die right now, you do not have complete assurance you'd go to be with the Lord. But my Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can be saved this morning. You can be saved. You'd have the courage the minute we stand to sing the invitation. You can step out, meet me right here at the front and say, "Preacher, I need to trust the Savior." We'll have somebody open the Scriptures and show you what the Bible says so you'll thoroughly understand what needed. You're here this morning as a child of God. You say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved and going to heaven." Yeah, but what kind of relationship do you have with the one that saved you? How close is that relationship? Some of you don't understand some of us. You don't understand. You don't understand. I sit over here and have just a good time during the song service. You don't understand it. Well, I'm listening to what that song says. I'm thinking about what the Lord's done for me. And I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I just go on and on and on. Hey, why? Because I know what it is to walk with Him. I got more at salvation than just a trip to heaven. I got more. And there's more for you, too. There's more for you. But you have to avail yourself of it. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're not right with God, you know you're not right with God. This is the place, this is the time to get right with Him. You need to walk this aisle. You need to kneel at these steps. If you can't kneel, have a seat at that front pew. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to repent of your sin. You need to turn around and say, I'm leaving it here. So I don't want to tell you, preacher, what I've done. Good, you don't need to tell me. You need to tell the Lord. You said, He already knows. Yeah, but you need to tell Him. There is this thing, it's good for us to confess our sin. Good for us to do that. Hey, what do you need today? You're here. What do you need? Going to go home without what you need? It's your fault. You need to come, then you come. Let's stand, please, with every head bowed. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm glad that they were gathered together there in Troas. Lord, what an example they leave for us, and what a challenge it is for us that we might do likewise, that we might focus in on the preaching of the Word of God, understanding, Lord, that You speak to us through Your Word, Lord, through the man of God, Lord, that You would deal with our hearts. Lord, if there's one or two or more here this morning never trusted Christ, they may be trusting their own deeds, but Lord, they've never trusted Christ for eternal salvation. Lord, would You help them to come this morning? When we begin to sing, would You help them step out, walk down this aisle, meet me at the front, say, Preacher, I need to trust Christ.